Let's pray. Father, we bless you and thank you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight, that you will be glorified in the midst of it all. We ask these blessings now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a young man that I know, he's a preacher, young enough to be my son, who became friends over the last several years, and he posted something that was a little concerning to me. He posted publicly desiring to get feedback on his life, wanting critiques and how he could do things better and all that kind of stuff. And I saw it and I was like, why? Like, why open yourself up to that level of scrutiny and criticism? So I responded privately to him and basically said something to the effect, what are you doing? Like, who cares what they think? Just do what God is calling you to do. And then I decided, because I thought the post looked pretty good, I would clean it up a little bit and then post it on my Facebook page. December the 31st, 2024. I start getting phone calls from all over the country. People like, you all right? I say, yeah, I'm fine. Why? Man, I saw your post. I'm like, okay. Man, I need to come down there, man, and take care of something. Man, somebody bothering you? No. What's going on in the convention? Somebody mess? I said, no. So here's my post, in case you haven't seen it. Here's what I said. I'll be honest with you. I don't care what other people think about me or what they think I should do. Their opinion of me is none of my business. If they don't care enough to share it, I don't care enough to seek it. I don't live for the approval of others. If I did, I would die from their rejection. I have enough on my plate doing what I know God wants me to do. That's my focus for 2025 and beyond. So now I'm getting ready for this message because I didn't even look at it. My wife said, she said, man, did you see all the responses you got? I said, no, I didn't even post it thinking about no responses. So on my personal Facebook page, now I shared it on the church Facebook page and another Facebook page, I got 279 likes and loves, 95 positive comments, and 33 shares, right? But I didn't do it to get anybody's feedback on response. I did it because I want everybody to understand that in this era where people are living for the likes, and they want to be loved and they want to be approved of by other people, that ultimately we should seek approval from only one, and that's God. How many of you have heard of people that are identified as people pleasers? People pleasers. How many of you know any people pleasers, right? How many of you have ever been called a people pleaser? Well, no, you don't have to raise your hand on that, right? People pleasers are people who consistently try to make other people happy, even at their own expense and their own well-being. People pleasers agree with others publicly, even if they disagree with them privately. People pleasers avoid conflict at all costs. People pleasers go out of their way to do things for others and apologize for things that aren't even their fault. People pleasers don't have the ability to say no, and people pleasers will many times change their personality depending on who's around them. They want other people to like them, to love them. They want to please others. My brothers and sisters, instead of working this year to be a people pleaser, I want to challenge you on what it means to be a God pleaser. What are you willing this year in 2025 to do in order to live your life in a way that's pleasing to God? I want to challenge you today from this thought, how to live to please God. How to live to please the Lord. At the end of the day, when we talk about how we live our lives, there's really only one approval we should be seeking. We love to talk about at the end of our journey, hearing the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But I don't want to wait till the end of the journey to hear God say, "Well done." I'd like to hear some well done's along the way. To see the favor of God manifested in my life because I have made it my priority to live my life in accordance with the word of God. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need your outlines, would you raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. And for those of you who are watching, you can go to our website, goodhope.org, and download an outline or download our church app wherever you get your apps. Now, the context of our foundational text today reveals that Jesus had just completed questioning his disciples about who people thought he was, what they were saying about him. And it's on the heels of that, as he is warned of his pending suffering and rejection and death, Jesus asks Peter what he thinks, and Peter makes the great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's out of this that Jesus shifts his focus, out of this great confession, to a great challenge. He says to Peter, he says to his disciples, he says to all of us, parenthetically, that we have to make a decision as to how we are going to live our lives. Are we going to live our lives based on the opinions of others and the approval of others, or are we going to live our lives in a way that we are going to get the approval of God? I want you to look at point one as we move through this. How to live to please the Lord. Number one, you must make the decision to intentionally follow the Lord. Verse 23, Luke chapter 9, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, here's what's interesting about this idea of following the Lord, of living a life that's pleasing to God. There are two problems that immediately come to the surface when we talk about pleasing God. First of all, not enough of us want to live to please the Lord. Most of us live for our own pleasure or to please somebody else. Very few of us actually put God at the forefront of our life and or ask God, "God, is what I'm doing pleasing to you?" Most of us don't ask God if it's pleasing to him because we already know what the answer is going to be. Here's the second problem, though, that leaps up at us. Too many of us who say we want to please God only want to please God as long as pleasing him is pleasurable to us. In other words, don't ask me, God, to do some things that might challenge me. Don't ask me, God, to do some things that might force me to grow. Don't ask me, God, to do some things that are going to make me look at the ugly side of myself. But if you're going to really please God, sometimes you're going to have to look at your own self and come to the conclusion that you need to change some things about yourself. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me. That "if" is a subordinating conjunction indicating an opportunity to choose. He doesn't make you. He says you have a choice. You have to decide. And you've got to be intentional in this decision. Why? Because if the decision is made accidentally, then anything that is done accidentally won't last. You've got to be intentional and focused when the Lord says, if anyone would come. Anyone speaks to everyone. Why is that important? I believe that Jesus is speaking not just to sinners, but I believe he's also speaking to the saints. I believe he's speaking to unbelievers and believers as well. Here's why I say that, because I believe everybody in this day and time needs to prioritize God's place in their life. Some of us have to reprioritize. Some of us need to prioritize, but either way, God needs to have that center place in our life. See, the truth of the matter is, as you move through life, God will cease to be at the center of your life, and other things will very subtly come in and take that priority place in your life. And it's not until you realize that, that you can reset some things in your life. I took my wife's car to the dealership. They had a recall. And so I took a car to the dealership. And while I was there, I talked to the gentleman about doing an oil change. And he said, well, we got a special. We'll do the oil change and rotate the tires. And I said, okay. He said, how long have you had the car? I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, well, we got it last year, but my wife doesn't drive it that much. And here's what he said to me. He said, you probably want to get the oil change even though you haven't hit the number of miles at which we recommend an oil change, just simply because of the age. You need to change the oil. And there's sometimes that we need a reset even when we don't think we've been through a lot. God is just saying, no, you need to change some things so you can refocus your life around serving me. He says, if anyone will come. Now, that's interesting, that word come. It has this idea of coming after or to follow behind. It's intentional and it's voluntary, right? Most of us want God to bless us where we are. We don't want to move to where God is blessing. We pray and we say, God, bless me right here, because God, you know my heart. And that's the problem. He knows your heart. He knows that your heart is desperately wicked. He knows your heart. Yeah, don't ever think you when you tell God, God, you know my heart, that's a good thing. He knows your heart. But God says you and I have to make a decision to shift from where we are, to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. So you have a choice. You can live to please God or you can live to please other people. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, write that down somewhere. No man and no woman can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve two masters. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. Let's read it together. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of righteousness. Underline that, instruments of unrighteousness. I'm sorry. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Double D, tell me the professor's name. Howard at TSU. Hawk? Howard Harris. So I'm talking to Prof. Howard Harris. And I said to him, I said, you know, we're talking about Black Music Month, right? Month of June. I'm interviewing him for Real World, Real Talk. So we're having this conversation. And I say to him, Prof. Harris, you know, because I want him to know, you know, I understand a little bit about music, even though, you know, all of the music I know is in me. It's never come out of me. I'm trying to get it out of me somehow. One day, maybe if the Lord lets me live long enough. So we're sitting there talking, and we were talking about great musicians. And I made a statement about musicians and the instruments that they play. And I said, because whether that instrument is an instrument they play or their voice as their instrument, people have a variety of instruments to play, And Prof. Howard Harris said, he said, well, actually, and Prof is a believer, he said, actually, he said, Rev, he said, the instruments that people play are really not the instruments. He said, you are the instrument. Everybody's an instrument. The question is just, how does the instrument articulate itself? For some people, it articulates itself through a musical instrument. Some people is vocal. Some people is their speech. All of us is how we live, because we are to all be instruments of God. We just got to make sure we're playing on the right key. Somebody said the key of G. That we got to make sure our lives are instruments of righteousness to the glory of God. Here's the second thing. Number two, if you're going to live to please the Lord, you must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. He said to all, verse 23, Luke chapter 9, if anyone would come after me, there it is, let him deny himself. To deny utterly, to, in the words of Peter, when Peter denied Jesus, right? He says, this is not about you denying somebody else. This is about you exercising self-discipline to deny yourself, to subdue yourself, to disregard yourself, to say to yourself no, even when you want to say yes. He says, you got to learn how to deny yourself. Watch this. The call is not to say no to something, but rather to deny yourself so you can say yes to God. Let me see if I can make it plain for somebody, because some of y'all got a blank look on your face. Just because you say no to stuff doesn't necessarily mean you're saying yes to God. If you think about your favorite sin, you think about your pet sin, thought, word, or deed. Say no to that sin. Say no to that thought. Say no to that action and that attitude, but you still haven't said yes to God. He says you've got to deny yourself, because you have a choice to either indulge yourself or deny yourself. Now, what's interesting is we typically have no problem identifying what somebody else needs to let go of and what they need to do to get their life straight. And God says, no, don't look at anybody else. Look in the mirror of your own heart and say, what do I need to do to deny myself, to get myself out of the way so I can let God have his way? Verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. It's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every sin that you've ever thought about committing or committed fell into one of those three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Jesus says, don't say no to the sin. Learn to say no to yourself. Because if you learn how to say no to yourself, you'll automatically say no to the other things in your life. Here's the third thing. Number three, you must take up your cross every day. If you're going to live to please the Lord, you've got to make the decision to intentionally follow the Lord. You must deny yourself. You must take up your cross every day. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross weekly. Don't y'all take up your cross when you're coming to church? Oh, come on now, I got to put on that Christian attitude like I put on my clothes, my church clothes, you know what I mean? Because I got to at least be Christian at least 2 hours on my way to church, on my way from church, and while I'm in church, if I don't run into the wrong person, hallelujah, somebody. I got to put on my cross, take up my cross weekly, monthly, quarterly. If I'm a CME Christian, every Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, I'm going to try to act like I'm a Christian. Jesus says you got to take up your cross daily. Now watch this. He's not talking about a piece of jewelry that you wear around your neck, right? He's not talking about a little cross that dangles from your earrings and somebody may see and they may ask you, are you a Christian? He's talking about a tool that was a tool or emblem of suffering in Jesus's day that should be for you a symbol of submission. In other words, when you put that cross on, you take up that cross daily. If you wear a cross physically, that's great. But in your spirit, in your mind, you ought to take up this cross that basically serves as a reminder to you everywhere you go that you are a child of God. Listen, when a person carried their cross in Jesus' day, they had been convicted, they were guilty, and they were under submission of the government who had sentenced them to death. They had to carry their own cross. Now, I think all of us would agree if you had to carry a cross, now not the little 14 karat gold one, but if you had to carry that cross, if we took that cross down and you had to carry that cross, I think you would have to admit that you feel the burden of carrying that cross. And watch this, Lord have mercy. If you take that cross with you everywhere you go, there's certain places you can't go because the cross can't fit. Y'all not hearing me. There's certain places you go, you can't get a table big enough for that cross. There's not a bar stool that'll hold that cross. Yep. Mic check. One, two. Certain places you can't go with that cross because the cross won't fit. And if that cross won't fit, the cross that Jesus says you should take up daily shouldn't fit either. See, it's not a cross if it doesn't change you. It's not a cross if it doesn't challenge you. It's not a cross, the cross that Jesus says you ought to be carrying, if it doesn't do something to you. He says you've got to bear your cross daily, not periodically, but perpetually. It's got to be ever present. The problem for many of you is you claim Jesus as your Savior when you picked up the cross. That was your salvation. But your sanctification has been thwarted because you have put down the cross that you're supposed to be carrying every day. And if I put down the cross, I might forget the weight of the cross. I might forget the price that was paid for the cross. I might forget the expectations that the Lord has for me when I carry my cross. See, when you neglect to carry it every day to facilitate your sanctification, you miss out on what God wants you to be. And here's the truth of the matter. Let's be honest, y'all. Let's be honest. We know what we should do. And when we do it, we get the results we should get. Then the question is, why do we stop doing it? Let me put a cord in the meeting park there for a second. So in my life, I've probably lost, probably 400 or 500 pounds in my life. I've gained 501 pounds, 502 pounds. Like every time I lose the weight, it finds me, you know? I'm not looking for it. It just finds me. It just comes back, you know? I always love it when people walk up to you and say, man, you gained weight. And, you know, the last time somebody did that, I said, what? You kidding me? God, dog, and I did not know. I was trying to figure out why them pants wasn't fitting no more. Woo, thank you for telling me. I never would have guessed it. Lord must have given you insight and discernment to see that. So listen, all of us know, some of you have New Year's resolutions already, that if you work out, if you eat right, you're going to get fit, you're going to get trim, you lose some weight, right? And all of us know, either personally or vicariously, the benefits of that. You know, your clothes fit better, you feel better, you might even have to go shopping, you know, as you lose weight, you know, the stuff that you had is too big for you and all that, right? Then why did you stop working out and eating right? Because this is not the first year you had that resolution. You ain't got to say amen. You can say ouch. I know I'm right. It's not the first year. No, come on now. You've been having this resolution since the year of our Lord. You've been having this for years. See, you know that when you stop, the benefits stop. You know that intellectually. You know that cognitively. But it doesn't stop you from stopping and not doing what you know you should do. Here's all I'm saying to you. You've got to deny yourself. And you've got to take up your cross every day. Every day. When you wake up in the morning, take up your cross. When you wake up in the morning, you spend time. That's why we talk about spending a daily time with God, a daily devotional with God. Why? Every day. Start off with, don't start off with no daggone horoscope. Don't start off with the news. Start off with the Word of God. Every morning, start off with God. Here's the fourth and final thing if you're going to live to please God. Number four, you must make the commitment to follow Jesus. I said, make the commitment to follow Jesus. It's not just a decision, it's a commitment. Everybody say commitment. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It has the idea of seeking to be in union with and in the likeness of Jesus Christ. It's intentional, and it's a commitment to follow the Lord. It's an active commitment to follow the Lord. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to follow somebody if they're driving and you're following behind them. And one of the worst things is to follow somebody who acts like nobody's following them. You know what I mean? They bobbing and weaving in the traffic, in and out, and you're like, man, wait. They four cars up in front. Man, just text me the address because I can't follow you. Getting ready to get in an accident, man, trying to follow you. You driving crazy and whatnot. But here's the wonderful thing. When Jesus says, follow me, he wants you to follow him. He wants you to obey him. He makes it easy to follow him. It's like the game Follow the Leader, right? Now, you know, the problem with that game is whenever you had somebody who was older, stronger, faster, more athletic, they would do stuff that nobody little could do. And if you couldn't do what the leader did, you lost. But Jesus wants you to win. Y'all, the Lord wants you to win. He wants you to win in this journey of life. He wants you to win and live in the blessings of God. He wants you to win and find purpose for your life. He wants you to win. So when he says, follow me, he's not making it hard to follow him. He says, I want you to act in a way so you can follow me. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let's read it together through verse 8. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. He died for sins that he did not commit, so we would not have to die for the sins we did commit. He paid the price for our sacrifice. Take up your cross and watch your character build. Take up your cross and watch your commitment to Christ build. Take up your cross and watch your walk with the Lord go to another level. Remember, if the world is gained, nothing is gained. But if your soul is lost, everything is lost. Take up your cross. Take up your cross every day. Remind yourself of what the Lord has done for you and the joy in following him. That's what Hebrews 12 says. Jesus endured the cross. Look at verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, there it is, the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's why we find our salvation at the cross. Yeah, the old song said, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a sinner as I? It was at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith, I'm talking about at the cross, that I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. You can't have a crossless religion. You got to go by the cross. You can't have deliverance unless you go by the cross. No blessings unless you go by the cross. No favor from God unless you go by the cross. No miracles without the cross. No success without the cross. Only suffering when you don't have the cross. That's why the song said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. That third verse says, the consecrated cross I bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear. For there is a crown for me. I don't know about you, but 2025, I want to be my best year yet. And I have decided to make Jesus my choice. I've decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. I've decided there's no turning back. No turning back. The third verse of that song says, my cross I'll carry until I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry until I see Jesus. The cross I'll carry until I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, but the cross in front of me. The world behind me, but the cross in front of me. Have I got a witness in here? The world behind me, the cross in front of me. No turning back. No turning back. Yes, I'm so glad that I made a decision to please God in everything I do. Is there anybody in here who will make up in your mind that this year you're gonna follow Jesus? This year you're gonna let God have his way. This year you're gonna step out on faith and trust God to do what nobody else can do. Yes, yes. Father, we bless you today. We thank you. God, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice would make a commitment, a decision. Ah, Jesus, to please you. To not let anyone else get in the way of their blessings and to get out of the way of their own blessings. Where fear is present, allow faith to override that fear. God, I pray for somebody who will trust you and trust what you say, even if they can't see what you're going to do, that they would say yes. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.